copyrighted program created by Rio Grande.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars. Attention all cars. Broadcast 254 regarding a fire. Assist a fire department arson squad in investigation. That's all. Rosenquist.
No one has a perfect memory, friends. The best of us, even you, forget things now and then. But tens of thousands of motorists never forget Rio Grande cracked when they need gasoline. Even the most forgetful of motorists are constantly reminded of this superior gasoline in so many ways that almost instinctively they turn in at the red and white Rio Grande station whenever the gas tank needs refilling.
Reminded? In what ways, Dr. Lindsley?
Well, a driver passes a police station on the way to work, and just seeing police headquarters reminds him of my favorite quotation,
which is
that Rio Grande cracked powers more police cars, fire engines, ambulances, and other public serving equipment wherever it is sold than any other brand. And the sight of a motorcycle officer or the sound of a siren reacts in the same way on a great many people. Others will go driving along, see a license number with an E centered in a square, and mutter to themselves,
"Police. Police car performance. City and county officials, California state officials, and federal government officials, too. Pickup, speed, power, miles. Yes, now I remember. I was supposed to get a tank full of Rio Grande crack.
Because it's the most highly recommended public serving gasoline sold in the West." The story we're to hear tonight came from the confidential files of the arson squad of the Los Angeles Fire Department. We have therefore asked Captain Orville J. Emery to present a foreword to our program. Captain Emery.
As national chairman of the Fire Prevention Committee of the United States Junior Chamber of Commerce, I wish to commend the Rio Grande Oil Company for dedicating this program to National Fire Prevention Week. Important fire prevention facts are brought to the attention of the public during this campaign, which is sponsored by Junior Chambers of Commerce in close cooperation with their local fire departments. 10,000 people, most of them women and children, lose their lives each year by fire. Property losses have been as high as $500 million in one year. 80% of these fires are preventable, caused by carelessness. Arson, the deliberate setting of fire, is the most vicious of all crimes. Such fires, more often than not, resulting in death. This evening's drama is one of many types of arson cases investigated by the Los Angeles Fire Department. I shall have more to say regarding the case at the end of the program.
On the morning of July 8, 1929, two women sat talking on the front porch of a house on Moulton Street.
You said the baby asleep, Josephina?
I don't know.
Don't you think you better go look?
He's all right.
I'd feel much better if I knew he was all right.
You'd think he was your baby instead of mine.
Wait until you're a grandmother. Then you'll understand.
Heaven forbid.
You didn't want the baby, did you, Josephine?
Why should I?
That's no way to feel about your child.
Well, that's the way I feel.
Well, he's here now and you'll have to look after him.
You don't have to remind me. I know. It's my duty.
Is it such a heavy duty?
Well, no. Of course not.
Then why you fume about
it? I want to work, you know that. I can't work with a baby on my hand.
But you have a good home and a good husband. What more do you want?
Just because he's your son, do you think he's a good husband? Well, he's not.
Valentin is a good boy, Josephina. He provides a well for you and the baby.
Ah, I'm fed up with him.
You better see about the baby, huh?
Oh, all right. If it'll make you feel any better. Well, I hope you're satisfied. He's asleep.
That's good.
Do you have to keep up that rocking?
Josephina, what's come over you lately? You're so jumpy and nervous. You're not like you were when you married my Valentine 2 years ago.
Oh, let up on me, will you? I'm all right. I'm just tired, that's all.
Why don't you go lie down, huh? Take a nap, rest a little.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mama. I didn't mean to speak to you like that. I'm sort of on edge today, I guess.
Have you and Valentine been quarreling again?
Oh, wasn't anything.
What was it about this time?
I asked him for money to pay the milk bill.
And what did he say?
I said, just it. He didn't say anything.
Oh, nothing at all?
Nothing. Some night I'm going to look at that fat face of his just once too often. And I'm going to choke the daylights out of him.
Josephina, you no should talk that way.
Why not? Just because he's your son?
You know better than that. You no should think of choking anybody to death.
Well, maybe I'll shoot him.
Oh, maybe. Maybe you'd better see about the baby again.
Oh, he's all right. You worry too much.
Was he still sleeping?
Sure, what do you expect him to be doing?
And he drink his water?
Yes.
Is he get plenty of sunshine?
Yes, it's a shining right in his face.
Oh, but they shouldn't do that. That's a ruin his eyes.
He's got them closed. Anyway, oh. I spread a cloth over the hood on the buggy.
Oh, that's right. That's to keep the sun out of his eyes.
Fire! Fire!
Huh?
Mrs. Sabatino! Mrs. Sabatino!
Oh, Madre mia! My baby!
Engine 1, Captain Welty speaking.
You've got a fire at 669 Moulton.
669 Moulton. Okay.
669 Moulton.
Yes, sir. 669 Moulton. Okay.
Right between those houses, boys. I think an extinguisher will do the job.
Oh, my baby.
Well, whose baby is this?
The young woman, Mrs. Sabatino.
Well, it looks as though there isn't much left for us to do. Who put the fire out?
We did, this boy and myself. We poured water on the baby buggy and got that out, and we tried to put the fire out on the side of the house with the hose, but it wouldn't work.
I'm afraid there isn't much we can do for the baby.
Oh, it was dead when we got the fire put out.
Well, if you'll give me your name, I'll make a report of it.
Captain Welty made his report on the death of Dominic Sabatino, age 9 months. Within a few minutes, as required in all cases of death by fire, the report had been relayed to investigators Harris and Montgomery of the Fire Department Arson Squad.
Well, Ed, this looks like the right place.
Uh-huh. I see the hole burned in the side of the house.
Wonder how the fire started.
According to the report I got, looks like the sun struck the baby's water bottle and set fire to the buggy.
Well, that could happen.
At least it has happened a few times.
Now, don't take on so, Mama. Little Dominique's better off.
Oh, how can you say that about your own baby?
I'm thinking of all the heartaches you'll miss.
Pardon me, but do you live here?
Why, yes. Why?
My name's Montgomery. I'm from the Fire Department Arson Squad. This is Investigator Harris, my partner.
Arson? What do you want here?
Well, we got a report that the baby had burned to death out here. And whenever anything like that happens, we always make a complete investigation.
There's nothing wrong here.
Yeah, you don't understand. We didn't say there was anything wrong. We just want to get all the facts about the fire so we can make a report, and there won't be any trouble.
Oh, my poor little Dominique.
Huh?
He was such a pretty baby.
Who's Dominique?
My baby. The baby that died.
Have you any idea how the fire started?
No. No, I haven't.
Was the baby carriage in the sunshine?
Yes, right back there.
Uh-huh. Was there a bottle in the carriage?
Yes, I had just given the baby a bottle of water.
What time did you put the baby out in the sun?
Well, We gave him a bath, my mother-in-law and me, and she came over and dressed the baby while I mopped up the water he spilled.
Oh, you don't live in this house, then?
No, I live in the little house in the back, my husband.
Well, go ahead. Tell us what else you did.
Well, about 5 minutes before they fired, I'd gone back to see about the baby, and he was all right.
I wanted her to see if he was asleep.
He was asleep. I came back and sat here on the porch with her for a few minutes. Then the man next door called me and said there was a fire.
What did you do then?
Well, Rosa here, she started screaming. And I ran back and pulled the baby out from between the houses.
Uh-huh. Who put the fire out?
The little boy lives on the other side of us. Reuben is his name.
Oh. Who called the fire department?
I don't know. We were all too excited to know what to do.
Has your husband been told about this?
I don't know. I think one of the neighbors phoned the place where he works.
Where is that?
He works at one of the picture studios out in Culver City.
Has your husband any enemies that you know of?
No. I don't know of anybody.
You and your husband get along all right?
Yes.
How long have you been married?
2 years in April.
Well, if he comes in the next hour or so, let us know, will you? We'd like to get some information from him.
All right. I will.
This is a funny business, if you ask me.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah? What makes you think so?
Well, for one thing, the lack of tears on the part of that mother.
The mother without tears, huh?
Exactly. She doesn't act like a woman whose baby is just burned to death.
Yeah, you're right about that. But you know, grief affects some people in strange ways. Maybe she hasn't had time to think of what's happened.
Maybe not. That's not much like the other members of her race.
The grandmother seems to be taking it pretty hard, doesn't she?
That's exactly what I'm driving at. The one who should be showing signs of grief isn't. And the one who should be the calmest is having hysterics. Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you're right about that, too. But we won't find out much around here. Let's get down to the morgue and get a look at that baby. Dr. Webb. You know Ed Harris, don't you?
Surely, Monty. How are you, Harris?
Hello. Doctor, we want to see a report on that Sabatino case.
That's the baby that was burned to death, isn't it?
Yeah.
I have it right here. I was just going over it.
Was the baby alive when the fire started?
Apparently so. From the seared condition of the throat and lungs, it's evident that the child was alive when the fire started. It probably smothered from the smoke.
Is this the buggy that was burned?
Yes, that's the one.
Any signs of incendiarism?
Not that I found yet. Thing's pretty badly charred, though.
Yeah, must have been a pretty hot fire.
There's something else that doesn't make sense.
I understand the fire spread to the house.
Yeah, burned a hole about 3 feet wide in the siding.
Are you sure there isn't anything else that might have killed that baby? Sure of that, Doctor?
That's very sure. There are no marks of violence we can find, and there's no poison.
How about being choked? Would that show?
Certainly. The cartilage in the neck would have been crushed.
Well, it lets that theory out.
I'm afraid it does, Ed. Just for luck, though, why don't we go out and have a talk with that mother again?
That's an idea. Besides, maybe the father's come back.
There's a fellow just stopping at the house. It looks like he might be Sabatino.
I'd like to talk to him before he talks to anyone else.
Pardon me, mister. Is your name Sabatino?
That's right.
We'd like to talk to you a minute or two, if you don't mind.
No, no, not now. My baby's sick. I've got to see about my baby.
You haven't seen the baby yet.
No.
Well, that's what we want to talk to you about.
Yeah. Let's go over to the car where we won't be disturbed.
Okay.
Are you a native of this country, Mr. Sabatino?
Sure. I was born in New York. Wilmington, New York.
Uh-huh.
And married long?
2 years.
How about your wife? She born in this country?
No, she was born in Italy. I'm over here when she was a tiny baby, just like my little Dominique.
Pretty fond of that baby, aren't you?
Sure.
Ever have any trouble with anybody, Mr. Sabatino?
Say, what do you fellows ask all these questions for?
Well, we're just trying to get a little information.
What about?
Well, there was a fire out in your neighborhood today, and we're investigating it.
Oh, you're from the fire department?
Yeah.
Why didn't you say so? No, I haven't had any trouble. Well, there is not much. I had a fight with a couple of tough guys that had been hanging around my wife.
Oh, you had a fight, did you?
Sure. This fellow Frank, he tried to poison my wife's mind against me. I told him to keep away from her. I bat him in the eye. He didn't do it, and I did.
Who was the other fellow?
His name was Dominique. We had a fight out here in front of the house about a week ago. Dominique had a gun, but I took it away from him.
What did he have to say to that?
He said he'd get another gun and kill me.
What kept him from it?
I don't know. He got a gun, all right. A friend of mine told me so, but he hasn't shown up yet.
You think he'd do anything to any member of your family? Say, your baby?
Nah, Dominic is a coward. He won't do anything to anybody.
How about this fellow, Frank? Would he do anything to the baby?
He might. But if he did, I'd kill him.
Yes, I imagine you would. How do you and your wife get along?
She's like all women. You have to bat them over the head now and then to make them behave.
Ever bat her over the head?
Sometimes, when she argues too much.
No. What does she argue about, mostly?
She's always harping on money. Never has enough. She wants to work.
What does she do with the money you give her?
I don't know. Pays bills, I guess. I gave her $9.20 this morning. Told her they were in my new pants. She could get if she wanted. Sometimes she pays the baby's insurance.
Insurance?
How much insurance you got on the baby?
We got one policy and the John Hancock for $350 or $375, something like that.
Uh-huh.
I got another one, the Metropolitan. I don't know how much it is, not much, though.
Who gets this money if anything happens to the baby?
We get it, my wife and I, both of us.
I see. You don't think your wife would do anything to the baby, do you?
I wouldn't put it past her. She wanted to leave him over at the Barton home and go to work. We had a fight because I wouldn't sign the papers.
What time did you go to work this morning?
About 6:30. That's when she asked me for the money to pay the milk bill. I told her the money was in my pants, and then I left.
You haven't been home since, eh?
No, they called me at the studio and said my baby was sick, and I came home.
Sick, huh?
Well, that's what they said.
Who called you?
I don't know. Somebody in the front office called and said I better check out and go home. My baby was sick. Well, look, I better go in now and see about it.
Just a minute. I wouldn't go in now if I were you.
Say, what's the matter with you fellows?
Why, nothing. I mean, I think it might be a better idea if you didn't go in right now.
Say, what is this? Why can't I go in my own house?
You can if you want to, Mr. Sabatino, but we'd advise against it.
Why?
Well, in the first place, your baby isn't sick.
No?
No, as a matter of fact, the baby met with an accident.
Where is he? Where's my baby?
No,
take
no.
it easy, Mr. Sabatino.
Where's my baby?
Easy.
Rosa! Rosa, Josephine! Where's my baby?
Valentino, my son, you have come.
Mama! Mama, what is it? Why are you crying? Josephine, what's wrong?
Tell him, Josephine.
Tell him? I mean, what? What is it? Tell me. What's the matter?
Little Dominique Valentine. He's dead.
No. No.
Yes, Valentine.
No.
The baby carriage, Valentine. It caught fire. It
oh, no, burned. Not my baby.
How did it happen?
I don't know. I gave him his bottle and he went to sleep. And the next thing I knew, the fire was burning. And the baby was...
You'll kill him.
No. No, Valentine. I had nothing to do with it.
You'll kill him.
No. No, 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 Valentine. Don't look at me that way.
You'll kill him. You'll kill my baby. You she devil. You never want him to live. You'll kill him.
The grief-stricken father and the mother were taken to department headquarters, where after consultation with the head of the arson bureau, the officers were convinced now that a crime had been committed. Mrs. Sabatino was taken back to the scene of the fire.
Now, Mrs. Sabatino, we want you to show us where you put the baby's buggy when you left him out here.
Right there between the two houses and the walk.
Which way was his head?
This way, north.
Well, then the sun couldn't have struck that bottle, Harris.
Hey, wait a minute.
Huh? There's
a place on the walk where a match has been struck.
Where?
There.
Who struck a match there, Mrs. Sabatino?
I don't know.
Yes, she does, huh? Too. I saw her strike a match there this morning.
You shut your trap.
Not so fast, lady. Come here, little girl. What's your name?
Esther.
How old are you, Esther?
I'm 10.
You live around here?
Uh-huh. I live right back there in that house.
And you say you saw Mrs. Sabatino strike a match here this morning?
Yes, sir.
What'd she do with it?
I don't know.
She's lying.
Maybe. Just keep quiet.
You didn't see what she did with the match?
No, sir. She went back of the house with it, and I was over in my yard.
How long was that before the fire?
Oh, just a little time. My mama called me and told me to go to the store, and I ran.
Mm-hmm. What else did you see?
I saw the matches.
You keep quiet or I'll have slept.
No, you won't do anything.
You saw what matches, Esther?
The matches that she throwed away.
Oh, well, where'd she throw them?
Right back there by that piece of tin, by the wash sink.
Oh, are you sure they were matches?
Oh, yes, sir, I'm sure.
Well, what makes you so sure?
I picked them up.
Oh, you picked them up. What'd you do with them?
My sister, my brother's wife, she made me throw them away.
Why?
She said they might think that I started the fire.
Where'd you throw them?
Right back where I found them.
Harris, see if the matches are still there.
Oh, they ain't there now.
No, where are they?
Emma picked them up and gave them to her mom.
You little liar!
Quiet. Who's Emma?
She's Mr. Sabatino's sister. She's older than me.
You saw her pick the matches up?
Yes, sir. She gave them to Mr. Sabatino's mother.
Well, Esther, was this before the fire?
Oh, no, sir. It was after the firemen had been here. Emma saw Mrs. Sabatino ringing out the didy, too.
Oh, when was this?
Just before the fire started. I smelled the gasoline.
Where?
Was she rung the diety out?
I'll pay you back for this, you little...
Oh, you won't do a thing to anyone, sister. I'm about fed up with your threats.
Esther, show me where you saw her ringing out the diety.
Well, I didn't see her, but Emma did. It was right over there by that sink.
Mm-hmm. Let's go over and look at it.
Emma asked her what she was doing, too, but Josephina wouldn't tell her. She said it was a dish rag.
Did Emma think it was a dish rag?
No, sir, it was a diety. Emma saw her get it off the clothesline.
Is this the sink?
Yes, sir, right there.
Mm-hmm. I do smell gasoline around here. Is that where you found the matches, right back behind the sink?
Yes, sir, that's the place.
Well, you wouldn't play with matches, would you?
No, sir. My ma'd hit me if I did. It's dangerous.
You bet it is. Now, Esther, did you see Mrs. Sabatino after you got back from the store?
Yes, sir, she was out in the backyard.
Was that after the fire?
Yes, sir.
Was she crying?
No, sir, but Mrs. Sabatino's mother was crying, and I cried, too.
I'll bet you did. Were you scared?
Yes, sir.
Well, Esther, you've been a good little girl to tell us all these things. You better run along and play now, though. We want to talk to Mrs. Sabatino.
Okay.
And don't play with matches.
I won't. Mama'll hit me if I do.
It'd have been a good thing if somebody had hit you, Mrs. Sabatino, when you started playing with matches.
That brat's full of lies.
Maybe. What'd you do with that gasoline you soaked that cloth with?
There wasn't any gasoline.
Now, don't hand us that stuff. Where is it?
You wait here, Harris. I got a hunch.
What now?
I'm going under that house and look for a gasoline can.
You won't find anything under there.
You hope?
I don't know what you're trying to do, but if you believe that kid, you're crazy.
Maybe we are. But just the same, I believe her.
You think I killed my own baby?
It has been done.
Okay, Harris, I found it.
Big one?
Oh, only a gallon can, but half of it's gone.
How about that, Mrs. Sabatino?
I don't know anything about it.
I thought you said there wasn't any gasoline around the place.
Where was it?
Clear over in the back, on the top stringer, right against the floor.
Oh, that's the stuff my father-in-law uses to clean the paint off his hands.
Maybe it is. We don't think so. Come on, let's get started.
Where to now?
The county morgue. Hey, we want to take a look at that fire case you got in here this morning.
Okay, it's right over there.
Come on over here, Mrs. Sabatino.
What for?
He wants to show you something.
Have any idea what's under that sheet?
No. No.
I just wanted to see if you're really a mother without tears.
Oh, my God.
What's the matter, Mrs. Sabatino?
Oh, my baby. My poor little baby.
Why did you do it?
Dominique.
You killed him.
Yes.
Why?
I don't know.
Do you want to tell us about it?
Yes. Yes, I'll tell you.
All right. Let's hear it.
Couldn't we cover him up?
Of course. Let's go into the office. Now, begin at the beginning and tell us all about it.
Well, it happened all of a sudden. This morning, I made up my mind to do something to spite my husband. I asked him for some money to pay the milk.
Valentine,
I need some money for the baby's bank.
So what?
I'm ashamed to look the man in the face.
Oh, for Pete's sake, we don't owe him so much.
We owe him $4.20.
Well, what of it? You owe him a lot more than that. He's not going broke if he don't get it today.
I told you for the last time I want some money.
Oh. I suppose you'll run away again. With that guy, Frank.
And what if I do?
You'll let me catch you with that board again, and I'll bring both your necks.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, you think not? I've done it before, you know.
If you ever lay a finger on me again, I'll kill you.
Ah, don't make me laugh.
You try it and see.
Okay, try that one and see how you like it.
And then my husband left. He went to work. I tried to think of some way to get even with him, to hurt him. He is stronger than I am. I couldn't do anything to him. And I knew he would beat me again the way he used to before the baby was born, before we were married. I had to find some way to hurt him. Then, while I was bathing the baby, something seemed to be saying to me,
"He loves the baby. You can hurt him through the baby. You've always wanted to kill his father. Now's your chance to kill his son. His own flesh and blood. Kill the baby."
No, 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 no. I can't. I can't. I keep saying that to myself. I can't kill the baby. And then the voice, he seemed to say to me,
"Then you could collect the insurance. You'd be able to send it back to your sick mother. She needs the money. And you'll hurt Valentine. You'll hurt Valentine."
In just a moment, we shall hear the concluding facts regarding this story. Friends, Rio Grande presents Calling All Cars as a thank you to many thousands of loyal patrons and as a suggestion to others that you also may enjoy the benefits of Police Car Performance Rio Grande Cracked Gasoline and that indestructible lubricant, Rio-Lube, the newest and finest motor oil sold in the West. And now, Captain Emery.
Mrs. Sabatino, whose name we obviously have changed, was brought to trial, found guilty of murder of her son, and sentenced to life imprisonment in San Quentin. Judging from the trouble he later encountered, her husband apparently lost his reason. Stark tragedy has dogged the entire family. Another and most conclusive proof of the statement that crime does not pay.
Thank you, Captain Emery.
Los Angeles Police calling all cars. Attention all cars. A cancellation broadcast 254 regarding a fire. Suspect in this case is now in custody. That's all. Rosenquist.
This is your narrator, Frederick Lindsley, bidding you good night for Rio Grande.
Next week at this time, Rio Grande will present The Case of the Blonde Paper Hanger. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.